Hello, my name is Paul Sank, also known as Rhett Segreto of LifeNet Radio, and we're speaking with Dr. Sidney M. Lamb, the originator of neurocognitive linguistics. One thing that struck me by surprise is that neurocognitive linguistics theory is not actually meant to be such a competitor to other theories that it's meant to supplant them. Actually, there's kind of a complementary relationship that's meant to go on. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. What we're focusing attention on, at least what I'm focusing attention on, is the relationship between the linguistic structure and the brain. And this is something that most linguists don't concern themselves with. Since I'm focusing on that level, I'm not focusing so much on accounting for details of syntax of various languages. That's the kind of thing that most linguists are interested in, syntax and semantics and so on of one language or another. It's sort of like some people working at the level of physics and others at the level of chemistry. Their work is not competitive, but complementary. In the same way, any work on language, figuring out syntactic or semantic or phonological phenomena of language, any of that that is compatible with relational network linguistics or neurocognitive linguistics, then fine, we can accept it. And in fact, we do them a service by showing that what they're working on is actually scientifically reasonable. For any work to be scientifically reasonable, it has to be based on some demonstrable physical reality. So that's the area that we're working on, because we have a demonstrable physical basis for language, and that is the human brain. So we can relate to all of the findings of neuroscience. So neuroscience provides the biological and physical basis for linguistic structure and linguistic activity. Since we have shown to a pretty high degree of plausibility that our theory of linguistic structure is relatable to brain structure, then any other approach to language that can be shown to be relatable to our approach, we can incorporate. We can call this accommodation. We can accommodate all such work in linguistics as being scientifically reasonable. We welcome all that work. In fact, I particularly welcome, because I'm not working in that area. And, you know, we all got to get together to cover the whole picture. So I think the principle of accommodation is what applies here. If you can show that these other kinds of things, like, for instance, Halliday's network grammar of his variety, or Laniker's cognitive linguistics, if we can show that they are relatable to relational network, then we have accommodated them. And so the whole thing becomes scientifically reasonable. Everybody accepts that neuroscience is a science. We can show the relationship between that and language structure. That's what I've been working on. That makes this kind of work on language structure scientifically reasonable. And if we can also show that that is relatable to, say, the work of Halliday and Laniker, then that work becomes scientifically reasonable as well.